Good morning, brethren. Yeah. The Lord leads, He guides us. Wherever He says go, we go. We are His servants. So, Book of James, it is today. That's why He's leading us to go. So, I want us to read the passage first, and then we'll pray after that. So, the passage is found in the Book of James, chapter 4. We're going to start reading from verses 13 through 16. It says, "Come now, you say, today or tomorrow, we go to such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we stand before you and sit before you under the authority of your word and acknowledge you as our Lord and Savior, the one from whom we receive directions and order for our lives. We thank you, for your word is living and powerful, and your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing of the soul and of the spirit. It discerns every aspect of our lives. And thank you, Lord, that by taking heed unto your word, that we are blessed. Thank you that we are blessed people to have your word to guide our lives. Guide us this day, O Lord. Speak through me to your people. Give us ears to hear and heart and mind to understand what you're speaking to us as individuals from this passage. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yes, the word of God is the light unto our feet, is a lamp unto our pathway. We are blessed. We're really blessed. God was speaking through Moses. And he was saying, somewhere in the book of Deuteronomy, says, what blessed nation is your people to have your word, right? So that is us as well. We are blessed to have the word of God to guide our lives. So today, we'll be digging into this passage. But before we start, I have a question for you. So I don't know, how many of you drive with your GPS in your car? GPS? Okay, yeah. So have you sometimes disregarded your GPS navigation directions? Have you kind of, I think I know better than that, right? Some of us have done that before. If you've done that, let me see, right? Okay, good. So we'll set it up, but we ignore the turns, we ignore the traffic check, we ignore it, and we just say, I think I know the way better now, so I don't actually need to follow what he's saying, right? So yesterday, I was coming from, I had to go to my school to go help out set up for the new incoming students' placement testing. So I was coming, and I already set my GPS to go by the side of the road. I didn't want to go on the highway. So, but I came up under Ecroft, and then I was going to go straight to Bishnot to go join Bishnot and come this direction. But then I said, there's two more lights before me. I think I can just take a shortcut here and go on the freeway and just go over past those two lights, right? That was me yesterday. And I said, the GPS is saying, go the side road. I said, no, it's better I go over here. I go over the free pass so I can avoid those lights. I just ignored it. And as soon as I got on it, I saw brake lights all the way. This thing was right. So I had to queue behind. I couldn't turn back. It's a freeway. I had to stay there and looking at all the people down here that were just going like that. So we ignore sometimes. We think that we know better. We have been this way before. We've done this before. We can do this now, right? That's some of the attitude that we have as human beings. So needless to say that I spent more minutes, more time waiting there, trying to join the freeway, go back to the other way. But anyway, that is just something that the Lord gave me yesterday to actually say, look, you are going through this every day. So the problem I had yesterday was the problem of presumption. I presume to know better than my GPS. And that is what the Lord has been speaking to my heart about, lately. We live in a world that celebrates confidence and, that says we take charge of our own lives, right? We say, look, we got this. We feel so totally on top of our stuff. We got this. Like, we're saying, this is our lives. I'm a master of my destiny. And we're acting as if we are self-made, all right? We're like, everything we achieve is purely because of our effort, right? This is us, especially younger, when we're a little younger. We say, yeah, I go for it. I do that, okay? The Lord is not saying we should not have goals, have plans, and do our thing, but is cautioning us in the midst of making our plans and making our goals and setting our lives. There's a caution there that we have to bear in mind so that we don't have the attitude of being presumptive, an attitude of presumptuous heart, a heart that leaves God out of our plans, a heart that leaves God out of the picture. Right, this is what he's trying to tell us this morning. If we get down to the bottom of it, this is a heart that is actually playing God. We are playing God. We're going to see why presumption is when we act like we know better than God, why doing things in our own way and thinking, God will bless me anyway. Or we make our plan and say, God, this is my plan, you bless it. This is not faith. This is not living by faith. This is pride. We will see why this is a problem as far as God is concerned. We will see three warnings from the passage we just read, and then we will see the better way in the same passage we have just read, the better attitude that God wants us to have as we plan our lives. Because we are his children, because we are under authority, because we have a Lord, we have a master, we have a savior, our master. So we're going to see those, the warnings. We're going to see the better way that the word of God is asking us, telling us the attitude we should have. So now we're going to go first to the problem of presumption. So James 4:13, the beginning of that reading, it says, come now. I want to pause right there. So come now will be like, James is saying, time out. Pay attention. Hold up. That means trying to get the attention of the reader. Hold up. Wait a minute. So, and then he tries to, some commentators think that this is a hypothetical situation that is presenting there. That he's saying, in this hypothetical but realistic scenario, is painting a scenario, or maybe he actually heard believers talking about their plans, and he's saying, wait a minute, hold on before you proceed, right? Or it could be hypothetical, right? Either way, he's just trying to rebuke them for making plans without acknowledging God. Today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city. We will spend a year there. We buy and sell. There are three layers of presumptions that are in this verse right here. The first layer is saying, I can confidently set my own program. We're saying, the time that I do what I want to do, the location where I do them, the duration, how long it takes, is totally up to me. Today or tomorrow, that's the timing. I want to control my own timing. The location, we will go to such and such a place. You know, I want to be over there, I want to be over there. And how long I feel I should do whatever I want to do. So that's the first layer, I mean, our own program. The second layer is we confidently arrange our own activities. We say, I'm going to engage in business. Or I want to go over there to on vacation. I want to go over there, and so on. Whatever we have, that's our own activities. And the third layer is that we predict our own outcome. We say, ha, we're going to make profit. So either we're making our own program, our own activities, our own outcome, they are not wrong. It's just that they are wrong when we leave God out of them. This same presumptuous attitude is revealed in the heart of the rich fool, that is in Luke chapter 12. I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation, Luke 12, 16 to 20. Then he told them a story. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. He said to himself, what should I do? I don't have room for all my crops. Then he said, I know. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I will have room enough to store all my wheat and my goods. And I'll sit back and say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, you will die this very night. Then you will get everything you have worked for. The rich fool says, I have enough stored away for years to come. See, he's saying, ha, I'm going to enjoy this for years to come. This is one of the three warnings that James is telling us, showing us from, you know, presuming that, oh, I have this many more years to live. I have so many more years to live. In verse 14, it says, James 4, 14, it says, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. So there are three warnings I want us to take note of. First, be warned, you do not know what tomorrow brings. That's what he's saying there. We don't know tomorrow. Life is uncertain. We make our plans, but only God holds the future. This is what one commentator says. He says, it is God's will that will act the conditions and conditions our life. So what he's saying is that the will of God determines what happens in our life. As believers, the circumstances of our lives are either arranged or permitted through God's providence. Things don't happen to us by accident. That's what I'm trying to say. God is in charge of our lives. So we know that life is not uncertain to God, but it is uncertain to us. Only when we are in God's will can we be confident of tomorrow, for we know that he is leading us. So be warned, we don't know what will happen tomorrow. Secondly, James is saying, be warned, your life is a mist, it's a vapor. If you look back at verse 14b, James says, our lives are as a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. The truth of the brevity of life pops up in many parts of the Bible. We only consider today Job and David. In Job 14:1-2, it says, how frail is humanity? How short is life? How full of trouble? We blossom like a flower and then wither. Like a passing shadow, we quickly pass away. And then David said in Psalm 39, Lord, remind me how brief my life, my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered. How fleeting my life is. You have made my life no longer than the width of my hand. My entire lifetime is just a moment to you. At best, each of us is but a breath. So we see from these two passages that our lives are fleeting. Our lives are temporary. And they're just like tiny little bit. It's so brief. I enjoy reading, all the B series of Wiersbe. So one of the things that he's saying, one of the B series, he says, we count our years at each our birthday, but God tells us to number our days. That kind of resonated with me. He's saying, we're hooked on counting how many years we have spent when our birthday is coming around. Say, how old are you now? I'm 40 something, whatever. But God is saying, count the number of your days. Look at Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. The point is that our life is very brief here on earth. So, we are not guaranteed another day. We only know right now. All we have is this God-given moment that we are in, living in right here, right now. The Lord does not owe us another moment. He does not owe us another day. He does not owe us another month or another year, no matter how young or how old we are. He does not owe us any of those. He does not even promise us that we're going to live one more day from today. I think many of us erroneously think that God has promised us that. No. He only promises us right now. Give us this day our daily bread. Right now is all we have. So, Chuck Swindoll says, life is short, no matter how long we live. We shouldn't be deceived into thinking we have plenty of time left to live for Christ, to enjoy our loved ones, or to do what we know we should do. Then, no matter what our lives, when our lives end, we will have fulfilled God's plan for us. What he's saying is that it doesn't matter if it's now or tomorrow or next week or next year. The important thing is that we have fulfilled the Lord's will for our lives, whether it's long or short. Thirdly, the third warning says, be warned. Boasting is self-confidence. Boasting in self-confidence is evil. When we are boasting in self-confidence, that's evil. When we speak or act like, I have got this, and we carelessly ignore God, God is speaking through James and saying, that is arrogant. That is sinful. Let's go back to verse 16. It says, otherwise, you are boasting about your own pretentious plan, and all such boasting is evil. Why is he evil? Well, we are humans. We cannot control future events. we have neither the wisdom to see the future nor the power to control the future. So when we boast, we are really making ourselves God. God is the only one that has wisdom to control the future, or the power to control the future, and the wisdom to know what is coming. So God is warning us, or kind of drawing our attention, saying, you cannot be God. He is only God. Now, we know that the root of all boasting is pride. Pride. Because in the book of James that we have just read, if there's one word or three words that is saying there, one of them is pride, saying humility, saying the previous verses to this one is talking about we trying to control other people's life, right? In the previous verses, in the context of this. And then in this particular verses, set of verses, we trying to control our own life. So this is all pride. It is the issue of the heart, of our heart. In the gospel, according to Mark, the Lord Jesus listed pride as part of evils in the heart. Let's look at Mark chapter 7, verse 21 to 23. It says, from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murder, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile a man. So our presumption is rooted in pride, which comes from our heart. Now, we are believers. We should not fool ourselves that our hearts are exempt from all this because we are believers. We know from experience that we all battle with the remnants of our depravity. We are depraved because we are fallen human nature. We have the fallenness inside of us. Salvation does not remove our sinful nature. On the other hand, salvation begins a lifelong war against our sinful nature. For example, Paul, when he was writing to the believers, is painfully being honest about his own internal struggle between the redeemed will and the sinful nature that we see in Romans chapter 7, verse 18 to 19. This is Paul trying to describe his own battle with his own self. For I know that in me, that is my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me. But how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not do, that I practice. Paul is stating the same truth in another way in the letter to Galatians. He's saying, Galatians 5:17. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Holy Spirit wants. This is from NLT. The Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of the sinful nature. These two forces are constantly fighting each other so that we are not free to carry out our good intentions. The point I'm trying to make to us here at this moment is that we should not be deceived and saying, I'm not presumptuous. I'm a believer. I don't have evil heart. I don't have pride in my heart. Yes, we do. We all fight it. We all fight it like other sins in our own lives. So you just be aware of that. So now, what's the better way? This is the last part of the message. What's the better way that the James is telling us? In James chapter 4, verse 15, the better way is to say, instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this and all that. Thank you, Brother Giorgio. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. In that little sentence right there, it's packed. Because one, it's referencing the will of God, and it's referencing the condition that are attached to either we live or we do. So let's first acknowledge that our very lives depends on the will of God. Even our ability to wake up and act We wake up from our bed this morning, take our hands, stretch it. That depends on the will of God. But we take it for granted, though. We just get up out of the bed, get up, go get our coffee, and so on. But God is saying, slow down. This is my will. I got you up this morning. It is because it will so. All right? Acts chapter 17, verse 25 and 28 says, in NKJV, says, talking about God, nor is he worshipped with men's hand, as though he needed anything. Since he gives life, he gives to all life, breath, and all things. Verse 28. In him we live and move and have our being. As also some of you, your own poet says, for we are also his offspring. So, God gives us breath. Do me a favor. Just take a deep breath now. And breathe out. Now say, thank you, Lord, for that breath. Yeah, he just gave it to you right now. And that's the only one he guarantees right now. If he gives you more, give thanks to him. As you proceed through your day, he's giving you more. It's there. It's God giving you breath. Secondly, from that James 4:15, we know that we cannot do or achieve only, we can only do or achieve only what is in the will of God. We think, yes, I want to go do this today. I want to go teach my student this day. I want to go drive that way. I want to go pick up that way and so on. It is the Lord that gives us in his will the strength and ability to do whatever we are planning to do. Look at Job chapter 12, verse 10. For the life of everything is in his hand, and the breath of every human being. And then 1 Corinthians 4, 7b. What do you have that God hasn't given you? And if everything you have is from God, why boast as though it were not a gift? And then Proverbs 16:9. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. I want to see that again in NLT, in the New Living Translation. It says, we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. So, we've seen that, one, our life, our very breath is from God. It's from his will. And then when we say, we shall do this, we shall do that, it's because God is granting us the enablement to do whatever we want to do. So lastly, we want to see now what? It says, let's go back. It says, instead, we should say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do that. Our Lord is saying to us in Matthew 6:10, when he was teaching us how to pray, the Lord taught us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is the better way, to pray for the will of God to be done in our lives. Our Lord Jesus is also our example. Do you know that we were born again to be like him? We were born again to be made like him. This is the goal, that we will be like him. Let's see what our Lord Jesus Christ did when he was faced with, choosing between the human will and God's will. Luke 22:42. This is when he was very close to being crucified, and he had to go pray in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. That's our Lord himself. And that's he that we are, our life is being patterned after by the Holy Spirit. So the better way is to surrender to the will of God for our lives. Even though we may make our own plans, but we have to make our plans and hang it up lightly. because we don't know. We may say, in all of this, the will of God be done. In all of my planning, in all of my ambitions and goals, in all of this, let the will of God be done, because God can change the course of our life like that. He can just change it and turn it to be wherever he wants it to go, because he owns us. Proverbs 3, 5 to 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Our will, our plans and our way should be predicated on, I have a master. Whatever the master says is what goes. I don't have an understanding of tomorrow, where I say, I'm not God. I don't know. I can only say, Lord, I don't know if it is going to happen, if it is your will. All right? That's what Proverbs is saying. We should trust in the Lord with all our heart, not ourselves. Our prayer every day should be what David was praying, Psalm 143, verse 10, he says, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Make your gracious spirit lead me forward on a firm footing. So as I wrap up this talk, I'm just going to say, the Lord is wanting us to be more aware that we have a heart that needs transformation, that needs constant work of sanctification. And part of the things that could be, that we need to pay close attention to is the pride in our heart, the pride that might manifest in presumption. But then we need to surrender that continually to the Lord. Just like any other thing in our life, we need to continually surrender everything to the Lord. This is not on the screen, but he's saying in Romans chapter 12, he's saying, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that we can be able to discern what is the will of God for our lives. So, question for you. In your life right now, are you driving on your own confidence? Or are you checking in with the one who made you? Are you checking in with the one who actually knows the way? In what areas of your life have you made plans without seeking God's will? Do you live in daily awareness that life is short and God is in control? How can you practice saying and meaning it, not just mouthing it? How can you practice saying, if the Lord wills? Let us pray. Lord, forgive us for the times that we have made plans without you. You are the driver of our lives. You are the GPS of our lives. You are the controller of our lives. Teach us to live humbly with a heart that seeks you, that trusts you, that seeks your will above everything else. Help us to trust you now. Help us to trust you with our tomorrow. Help us to live faithfully now. And help us to live faithfully each day that you add to our lives. We thank you that we belong to you, and we give glory and honor and praise to you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. Amen.